Sports Radio 929 The Game, the 929TheGame.com, into the 8 o'clock hour. Sam and Greg, got Caleb Johnson sitting in for Greg. Noel, other side of the glass. I guess I'll say a good morning, Georgia. Where do I go with that, Noel?
And a good morning to Doraville.
The Doraville, the end of the martyr line. We don't want to know it to be known the end of the martyr line.
That's, it is, isn't it?
It is, but shout out to the folks at Assembly Studio. Have you seen that place?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my goodness. The Assembly Studios that are at the right there in Doraville.
Yeah.
Incredible. Set up for television, for movies. Beautiful, beautiful complex that is there.
I heard Francis Ford Coppola just opened up a
hotel.
Yeah. It's got like a whole like editing suite and stuff. Like you can stay in the hotel and it's got a lot of history and movie memorabilia, but then also make your own while you're there.
Well, some folks may go to a hotel to make their own movie. We're not going to get along with that. Bring that idea up.
It's 8 o'clock in the morning, Sam. What are we doing?
On this Saturday morning. We're going to the hotel and we're going to make a movie. Where have we heard that before? Anyhow, the theme that we just heard, we usually always associate with college football and CBS Sports and with the SEC, but not so this year, Caleb.
It's going to be weird, Sam. I was prepared for it when we got the end, the SEC championship, you know, kind of that last hoorah to the SEC on CBS. But now that it's kind of coming around, I feel like the best thing that's happened for me is the fact that I've got Hulu, my cable's through Hulu.
Yeah.
And so now I won't just naturally go to Channel 9 or 46 or whatever for CBS. Like at least the games are just in front of me, and I don't have to think about what channel they're on. Hulu will just tell me where to go, because it is that natural inclination of, all right, it's noon on a Saturday, time to go over to CBS to watch some SEC football or that 3:30 matchup of the day. Got to get used to it being on ESPN ABC now.
Yeah, it's moved around. I guess it makes sense that it should move around if the schools are moved around. I guess that's what you get used to. And this week out in Dallas, I was the first time having the SEC media days outside of what we would consider the Southeast.
Yeah.
Right? But now that's Texas is spare ground, because Texas A&M has been in the conference for some time. And Commissioner Greg Sankey mentioned that this week, that they had thought about trying to do it a few years earlier when Texas A&M was in.
But they didn't. That's the thing. It's like, that's how you know that Texas is different than Texas A&M. Is the fact of, him coming out and being like, we thought about coming out here and, we thought it was a really good idea. And it's like, Commissioner, Texas is coming to the, we're going to Dallas. we're going to Dallas. And also, like, what an incredible just timing opportunity for media out there who got to cover both SEC Media Days and the All-Star Game, All-Star festivities out there. Because at first, when I was in Vegas, and I saw some of my friends, Maria Martin, and others who were out there, I was like, wait, how'd they pull it? And I was like, oh, that's right. I forgot we're dealing the same area.
Mm-hmm.
So media hub and really kind of getting that 2-for-1 opportunity out there as you got to see the full Texas experience that they had with the photo op setup. And then the Texas love is real, because Sam, that preseason rankings came out, the order of finish and who they think is going to be, top to bottom in the SEC. Texas getting a lot of love. I know Quinn Ewers is out there, and I know, Sark's got them with a really talented team, but to not see Georgia, Alabama in 1 and 2 in some form or fashion, to see Texas sneak its way up there, that
Did they sneak their way? They fired the shot last year when they beat Alabama.
Fair.
To me, I'm not surprised. And we'd already talked about the influence and the deep pockets they got out there.
Yeah.
I hope folks in the SEC realize who they've invited to the party. That's you know what I mean? I hope they realize that. If not, they're going to find out really soon. Before Georgia sees them, they're going up to Michigan.
That's right.
You know, that they got a heck of a schedule coming up. Texas does. But they're predicted to be number two. Conceivably, they could play Georgia three times. You know?
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that, but you're right.
They could conceivably meet three times this year when you think about it. That's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Especially with them coming into the conference new to the that's just amazing. That's a possibility, but it's out there.
Well, and I just like the fact that we're going to get this in the regular season. You know, I think that's the thing. Like so much was said about Georgia last season, and has been in years past. Of like, okay, well, the competition really started once they hit the SEC championship, but to get Bama this year, to get Texas this year, mm-hmm. to get that real, you know, true difficult schedule is gonna be a really fun thing to get to see. I'm hoping I'm probably gonna travel out to Tuscaloosa.
Okay.
To go check out. Yep. But I don't.
Georgia and Alabama.
Yeah, Austin's a little bit further. I gotta see about that one. I was actually out.
Georgia fans are going to make the trip now.
Oh, you know they will.
Georgia fans are going to travel out there.
Because Austin's a fun city. Yeah. Like, I went out there for the first time, I believe it was 2 years ago. So I'm in town for a wedding, and I look, and I'm like, look, you know, I'm talking to the wife, like, I want to go see a Texas game. We're going to be out here, and it was the perfect matchup, Texas and Kansas.
Yeah, okay.
Which I was like, all right. This is when Kansas is never any good. It'll be a blowout game. It'll be over early because the wife was kind of like, look, there's some other plans that I wanted to do while we're out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, okay, because I think the wedding was on Sunday. And so it was like, well, so we're going to have Saturday. She wanted to see some things. So I said, look, we will leave by halftime. Okay, we'll leave at halftime because it'll be a blowout. Sam, I don't know if you remember 2 years ago, that was the year that Kansas went on to beat Texas in double overtime.
Yeah.
Backup tight end ends up catching the touchdown pass. You know, and just it was the insanity of that area because I stayed. I stayed. I mean, wife thought we were going to leave at halftime, yeah, and we stayed for double overtime because I was like, I can't leave.
Whoa.
I can't leave and miss this.
So
it was just an incredible sight to see. Texas fans were so furious. And then they follow it up, obviously, with the, you know, the new era of Quinn Ewers, you know, getting Manning in there. Sark's obviously done a really good job to turn that program around from, you know, when he kind of took it over then, to see them now, yeah, being ranked second in the preseason media poll ahead of Texas. So as I was seeing here, Georgia got 165 points.
Yep.
Texas 27, Alabama 12. Like, we are truly in the post Nick Saban era.
Yep.
I still thought that Kalen DeBoer would get some more respect, but
I think he's got to earn that. I think he's got to earn that all over. You know what Saban did was what Saban did, and you know, for better or worse with him, the same is true with the Alabama boosters and fans and whatnot,
yeah.
Who always expect to win everything.
And the other part of this is the preseason All SEC team. So out of the names listed here, how many players from Alabama do you think made the All-SEC team? If you just had to take a guess. Because in years past,
it'll be like 6-7.
Yeah. 2. There is Tyler Booker, offensive lineman, and Deontay Lawson, linebacker. Those are the 2 Alabama players selected to the All-SEC team. Georgia, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
6 on the All-SEC team. They've got Carson Beck, of course, Trevor Etienne. You've got Tate Ratledge. Mykel Williams, Malachi Starks.
Yep.
And then Nazir Stackhouse on the defensive line. So, yeah, good showing from Georgia on the SEC, all SEC team. But it's truly like, it's so difficult to wrap your head around the, like, all right, I know we're in a post Nick Saban era, but, you know, they were able to keep their quarterback. They were able to keep some key pieces on that team that I don't think they're going to be, you know, there's going to be that big of a fall off. But people really respecting Texas as a team, even though Texas on the all SEC team, on the all SEC team, only had Kelvin Banks Jr. on the offensive line make the all SEC team for the preseason media vote. As like I said, it was pretty much dominated by Georgia, Oklahoma, and Ole Miss. Getting a good number of players on the list.
And that's Ole Miss, is right behind Alabama and LSU. And they got Missouri coming back. That's the one thing I want to watch. And can Missouri repeat what they did last year?
I think so.
You think so?
I think so. I think that is a team built to surprise a lot of people. And then for people who have been watching the SEC the last couple of years, I think they're going to be kind of vindicated for the level of play that is really stepped up out there. I was part of a bachelor party last year and got to see my first Missouri game out there at Missouri.
What's
and,
that like?
It's a cool atmosphere. Now, the game that I was at, cold, man. It was cold. But especially, look, after spending a weekend in Vegas, I will take cold, because at least in the cold, you can put on clothes. There's only so much you can take off in Vegas. And I guess it depends on who you are.
In some places in Vegas, they're kind of known to do that.
Exactly. But out there in Missouri, they've got a really good fan base out there that surprised me, because I didn't know much other than, a friend of mine, Will Pelagic. He was the one getting married.
Okay.
Had his bachelor party out there and got to see.
You just haven't heard that about Missouri football.
Yeah, no. But I think it's just because, like me, people just don't check in. And then you do and you're like, oh, whoa. Number one, good fan base. And then number two, you're like, pretty good football team. And I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. I believe they're like top 10 preseason rankings.
I mean, if they can follow that up and repeat that, then that would be pretty impressive. Meanwhile, down the way in the SEC, you got Florida. What are the expectations there?
None.
Man. You say that about Florida?
Right? I broke out, got to play for the first time yesterday, the new college football game on PS5.
Okay.
And my first game that I played, because it was literally the first game that popped up, was Georgia-Florida. And because I picked that game, because it's been years, obviously, since I played a college football game, and it's probably been a long time since I played a Madden game, quite honestly. And so I broke that game out because I knew Florida wasn't that good. And it was helpful, as, you know, I know Graham Mertz has gone down there to try to help out that quarterback situation. But it's jarring to see. Yeah, when you see the predicted order of finish from the media votes, and Florida bottom five, along with South Carolina, Arkansas, Mississippi State, and Vandy. It's just it's
not a place you're used to seeing Florida football.
Yeah, it's gonna be hot seat for Billy Napier. It's gotta be, right.
Yep. Yeah, we got hot seats in Florida. We got hot seats in Arkansas. A couple of places where people are saying, all right, this year you got to get some things turned around, and let's see if Auburn can be Auburn again. That's the thing you watch to see what happens with them as well. It's going to be an interesting season, and this week talking about it gets us all set. Next week, the ACC will have theirs, and the biggest thing happening there is what's going on with Clemson and Florida State. They're trying to break camp, and what happens if they do?
Isn't that awkward?
That's just you know what I mean? That's the dark cloud that's hanging over the Atlantic Coast Conference right now. That's all talking college football. We'll talk more later on in our program. But moving on now, tennis is about to tumble. Unfortunately, the last opportunity to play at Atlantic Station, they're about to get things kicked off there today with the qualifying round. Peter Lefkowitz the executive director of the Atlanta Open, will join us next here on this Saturday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Little thing, this April bitch, you got me sprung with your tongue ring. And I ain't gonna lie, cause your loving gets me high. So to keep you by my side, there's nothing that I won't try.
Sports Radio, 99 The Game, 99TheGame.com. Cliff Crenshaw, 9 Plus up in the Kia Studios. We got Caleb Johnson sitting in for Greg Clarkson on this morning as we look out the window. And when we look far off in the distance, you can tell it's rain. If you look way off,
it's
going to be hit and miss around the area pretty much for much of the day today if you're going to be getting out.
I wonder if, you know, Sam, if I'm the one bringing the rain. Because quite honestly, the last, I think, three shows that I've done here in the Kia Studios, it's rained, including, I believe it was, I think it was July 4th that I had a show that evening.
Okay.
And we were all, you know, we were talking in here, and I was in with my producer and talking about, you know, getting ready for fireworks, and you could see it off in the distance, and then because we were high enough up, you start looking out, and you're like, oh, that's getting closer, that's getting closer.
That's
and
one thing that happens in this studio.
Yeah.
You're at the perfect height that you can see it coming, right?
It hit, and it hit hard. Now, thankfully, I think the rain that day stuck around for all of 15, 20 minutes. And then it was gone. So it was kind of, you know, me and Dom were like, oh, okay, everybody can enjoy their firework festivities. But yeah, I'm starting to wonder if it's me bringing the rain. As I don't know, I'm thankful for it. Especially I brought the rain to Vegas. I don't know if I didn't mention that
it actually rained out there.
It rained in Vegas the Saturday that I was there for Summer
take
League.
Pictures, people take.
I did too. And what was crazy is because, I mean, I was thankful for it because it was like, whew, a little bit of relief because it blocked out the sun for a while and all of those sorts of things. But I had people with me who were like, I've been coming to Summer League for the last 8 years and I've never seen it rain. And then you start talking to locals and they're like, oh, it rains all the time. I mean,
it rained
back in March, I think it was. And it's like, all the time. Like, what are we?
You know what? In certain parts of the country, it's like that. I was in LA once and it rained, and there was a guy on the sidewalk selling umbrellas like hot dogs and lunchtime because people don't own
them.
People don't, you know, don't own an umbrella.
And probably would throw it away right after, too.
Right afterwards. All right, rain today. I'll get rid of this thing.
Yeah.
You know, but that's amazing how in certain parts of the country, you know, rain is a rare thing. But like you said, to them, it's, oh, yeah, we get plenty of rain. No, dude, you don't get rain.
Yeah, no. And it was just, it was crazy to see. It also, it caused the sky to look a really, like, strange kind of yellowish sort of tint to it. And then it, I was also hearing some people talk about that there's a ton of watering companies. Like, that's a full business out there in Las Vegas, is companies who have these big tankers on their trucks who go out and water people's plants so they can survive, or, like, in the city and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I was hearing jokes about, oh, yeah, when it rains, people call and want, like, a credit, or, like, want to not have to pay
for
the water guy that day. And you know, there's a whole, like, debate that happens when that takes place because it rains so infrequently. But I did, while I was out there, I saw one of those guys in the truck because I was in a downtown area on the strip, and he was going up to all the plants and just, you know, pouring them full of water.
Well, I'm sure that area requires that because they want to have that area have something green and everything look dusty.
Well, that was because someone brought that to my attention as I was amongst the number of things that just I wasn't crazy about with Las Vegas was that, you know, it's more difficult to breathe out there. And someone was like, well, you're not getting, you know, the oxygen from plants. Like, you don't have all of that vegetation that you're used to back home. And I will say it, and I continue to say, like, I will take 80s and 90s here in humidity versus the 110s that I was getting out there, the 114s, the 118s, and no humidity, because that dry heat, it doesn't matter if it's dry. It's the oven is dry heat too, and I don't want to stick my head in the oven. But that's what I felt like I was starting last Friday.
114 is 114, folks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, that was the thing. And a couple of times, because I mentioned this to my wife yesterday. So it was windy yesterday and still hot, but the wind cools you down. In Vegas, when the wind blows out there, nah, that's just air moving in heat. It's like an air fryer, you know? Like, it's circulating, but it's still hot. It doesn't cool you down like it does here.
All right. Well, folks, we talked about the heat. Of course, that happens this time of year when the Pro Tennis Tour comes to Atlanta. And once again, the ATP Tour coming through Atlantic Station. Pro Tennis Tour is coming. It's their last stop. But joining us down the waitfor.com hotline is tournament director Peter Lipovitz for the Atlanta Open, getting ready to get things started this morning. Peter, welcome.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. It's going to be a kickoff to our 14th event here in Atlanta, and it's our grand finale. It's going to be a great one.
Yeah, Peter, I just wanted to ask you, just kind of like right off the bat with this kind of last send-off tournament, what are you most excited about getting to see here?
Look, I think, you know, apart from all of the great people and fans that we've gotten to know over the years, and, you know, even all of the players that have come through, I think getting to see on Sunday our showdown with our two ladies and having Taylor play, and then on Monday with our event that we've got with the past champions, Isner and Roddick, playing the Bryans, you know, I think those are the two events that I really look forward to, as well as just all of the people and saying thank you to the fans, the volunteers, the sponsors that have been with us in the city for over all of these years, and as well as Atlantic Station has been a tremendous site for us for the last 10 years.
Peter, what do you feel the legacy of this event will be? Because it was outside of the box, not just for Atlanta, but for the ATP Tour, to put a tennis tournament in a retail residential area. But it comes off just great. It's, to me, I say it's so Atlanta because that's what we do here. But thoughts about the legacy of this event?
Well, I tell you what, we've changed some things. We were the first tournament to actually use back walls that have the video walls. So we were the first one doing something different there. Our player lounge is actually on the second floor of our hotel. No other tournament does that, and the players actually love it. So, you know, it's doing things differently that I think will be the legacy. And also I think the other biggest promotion and things that we're proud of is the connection to college tennis. You know, each year we were rotating between Georgia and Georgia Tech, and many of those players have been given wild cards. And a classic example is Chris Eubanks, who was given a wild card 1 year and got to the quarterfinals. We all know where Chris is now. So I think that promotion of college tennis as well, I think that's one of the things we're really proud of, because obviously the college tennis here in Atlanta and Georgia overall is very, very strong. So I think those are a couple of the things we're really proud of over the years.
Talking with Peter Lipovitz, the Atlanta Open Tournament Director. Peter, you know, having a guy like Ben Shelton coming to town, just what are you expecting from the level of competition that he brings?
Look, Ben, you know, let's all remember when it goes down in the history books, Ben's first ever ATP match was here at the Atlanta Open. So it's a very special place for him, and he plays a great brand of tennis. He's very enthusiastic, so he's just tremendous to watch. And then you add in Francis Tiafoe, who's coming here to play in our last event. And he's another character that, when, you know, big foes out there, there's always a lot of fun. You know, and then we've got our French guy, Adrian Mannarino, who's going to be playing. And if you've ever watched him, he strings his rackets at 20 pounds, which is like so light. Plays an amazing style of tennis. So I think you're going to see the big servers, a little bit of the grinders with the touch, and then you're going to see the big personalities with guys like Big Foe.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Peter Lipovitz talking about the Atlanta Open. Okay, things are getting started. Less than 2 hours away from play beginning. Thoughts about what you have coming up over at Atlantic Station today, Peter?
Today's first round of qualifying. They're supposed to start at 10 o'clock. As of right now, the team is out there trying to dry the court. So I think we're going to be very close, if we don't get any more rain, to starting right at 10 o'clock. It's our public kids weekend. So any kids 12 and under, get in free. We want to see as many people down there as we can, as many kids to be inspired playing the tennis. And then at 2 o'clock, we're actually going to make the singles draw in our gathering area on the SeatGeek stage, and it's going to be a fun time to see how a draw is made. Because, Sam, you know how it's made, but a lot of people don't realize how it's literally pulling chips out of a bucket as we do that. So I'd love to have everybody come down and see that at 2 o'clock today.
I always tell people the qualifying rounds are some of the best tennis of the week, because these are people who are just fighting for a spot in the main draw, and that they are playing and fighting for every single point. I always say, if you can go and watch some of the qualifying rounds, you're going to see great tennis.
100%. I mean, the guys we've got on board today, you know, Kevin King, the assistant coach of the men's team at Georgia Tech, won our local wildcard that we've done for the last 10 years. So he came through 8 matches and he won, and he's going to play on stadium against JJ Wolf, who's a former quarterfinalist here coming back from some injuries. So that's going to be a great match. And then we've also Nate Bonetto, who's also playing at Georgia Tech. He got a last-minute wild card because lots of crazy things. We had Alejandro Davidovich Fokina, the number 40 guy in the world, was supposed to play qualifying, but with Riley Opelka doing so well, he was able to get in the main draw. So last minute yesterday, we had a wild card. So we've got a couple of Georgia Tech representatives. And then, of course, we have Georgia representative as well, and Ethan Quinn, who won the NCAAs the other year. He's going to be playing the last match on stadium court today. So a lot of college tennis guys there and a lot of guys fighting for that, as you said, fighting for those points to get into the bigger events and keep building their ranking.
Peter, outside of for fans to get to see these guys out on the court, are there any opportunities for them to interact with any of these guys out in some of the different areas?
Yeah, we do a lot of things. Like, for instance, we'll have a player out there for our draw party today at 9:30 this morning. We've got David Goffin is going to be going down and talking to the kids that are on site doing one of the clinics on our family's own court. So there are always players walking around. That's one of the beauties of it. And they're walking around Atlantic Station, so you can just bump into them anywhere you go here. But we always try and put the players out in front of the fans. So every day we have a couple of opportunities for the fans on the SeatGeek stage or on the family zone court to get to meet the players. And then after every match, we have the Cadillac autograph zone where they can grab the autographs for the players as they come off the court. So we've got a lot of opportunities, and that's something we love. I promote it all the time. I tell the players, I need you to, you know, to meet and greet as many people as you can. That's what the fans love to see. They love to get to know these guys, and that's what we promote.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. And it's a joy. I hope that people will get a chance to go down and enjoy some of the tennis action. It is the most unique experience. It's the most unique setting on tour. And it's something that we've done. It's very unique for Atlanta. I hope that the players will remember that. And hopefully, you know, down the road, we get a chance to have another pro tennis event of some type here in Atlanta. I think the people here have shown that they're ready to receive it and will support it, Peter. I think that's something that we still, even though this is departing after this year, something we still look forward to.
No, absolutely. Look, our founder, Gary Thurman, you know, certainly believes that we should try and look to create another event down here, whatever form it may take, because we have been supported by the fans, by the business partners, by the city, by everybody here. It's been a successful run. It was just an opportunity for us to become a higher level tournament with the ATP, and the only option was to move it to February. So we're not leaving because it hasn't been successful. It has been, and we want to come back and bring something back to Atlanta if we can.
Fantastic. I can't wait to get over there and see you and enjoy some tennis this week. Hope of our listeners will come out and do the same. Peter, thanks for the time today. I know you got a busy schedule today, but thanks for taking some time with us.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Peter Lepithus, tournament director over the Atlanta Open at Atlantic Station as he gets set to play the qualifying round today and play the final tournament of his stretch here in Atlanta. Hope you get a chance to get over and enjoy some of the tennis over there this week.
Absolutely. Yeah, it looks like it's going to be quite a good time.
Think so. Or coming up next, we usually do a casting call. We may do a little bit of that, and we may get Noel on some stuff too as well. We continue. You stay with us. Next hour, Jason Longshore is going to join us and get set for Atlanta United as they are in the bins tonight against Columbus. So you stay with us on this Saturday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw sitting in for me. Around with Caleb Johnson sitting in for Greg Clarkson on this Saturday morning. Glad you are with us. And usually we get to this part, we usually do a casting call. And then this Greg usually does. And I can't do it as well as he does it. But, you know,
I was about to say, Sam, I feel like I didn't do my job. Like, I didn't bring any new jobs to the casting call to give the folks. As I'm filling in for Greg this morning. I'm supposed to, like, come with some jobs available as what was it? Stranger Things was one of the
Stranger Things
recent ones that folks had an opportunity to go get some get some work being in a an extra and that sort of thing. I was trying to remember the last role that I did, because when I was in college, I was very much looking out for these casting calls.
Okay,
to go, you know, get a chance to be in something, but also, you know, when you're in college, this little $50 here, little $100 here, that sort of thing, really helps you stretch your finances.
Okay,
when they're low, and so there was a Melissa McCarthy movie that filmed at Georgia State Stadium.
Okay,
when I was in school, I believe that was like 2016, 2017, and what I remember is going out there. It was decent. I think it was like $75 for the day, being in a scene where they were supposed to be at a baseball game. And so we're all like vendors and that sort of thing. And so I had a whole outfit that they had put me in for that. I kept the, it was supposed to be a Seattle Mariners game, and I kept the Mariners credential.
Really?
Cause I was like, I just want something to have from this. And I remember the cameras, and Melissa McCarthy comes right by, and so I'm. It was a spy movie that ended up going like straight to HBO Max. And I remember when the movie came out that I was like, "Well, that camera went right by me, so I know I'm in it." And I looked, and I kid you not, Sam, they cut the scene right, like it had to have been a frame
that happened
right before I got on screen.
That happened to you too. That happened to me long time ago. I was in one, and I'm watching it. And I said, this is my scene coming up, and nope.
Yeah. So I've had that happen, and then a friend of mine, Rashad, was in an episode of Atlanta, you know, the Donald Glover show,
right.
But it was the back of his head. Like you, so you saw the back of him, and what I remember is him being so excited because he screenshot it and he put it in our group chat and was like, "Look, I'm in an episode of Atlanta," and it was like, "Oh, the back of your head, yeah. No, good stuff."
Well, folks, hey, you get excited about it because the opportunity is here. The opportunities are all around us. The film industry, and of course, you know, they had a time when things were on lockdown, is gradually making its way back. You mentioned Stranger Things, and that's tailor-made. I'm looking at the casting call here. They do have some dates coming up for the official filming dates are coming up July 22nd through August 2nd. So that's going on. The roles they're looking for are military types. That's ages 18 to 60s. They're looking for men for that. For that show, let me see what they got. When we still got some for P Valley,
yeah.
Noel, you want to go with that one? Nope. They're looking for someone to be in that one. The shoot is on July 29th.
So they're looking for a black male chef, someone who is 18 years or older. They must have cooking experience.
Okay.
Must be able to cook a Rolex.
Huh?
An omelet rolled into a chapati.
What?
I have never heard of that, but I am definitely going to Google that now because I don't know how to cook a Rolex, but I want to know.
Yeah,
I want
really?
To learn.
You have to learn.
Because that, I mean, I've never even heard of that before, but that sounds really cool.
Me either. The multiple roles. GRITS, Grits, that's Destination Casting. They're looking for people, well, they're filming now through July 26th. We'll watch for that one. They're looking for churchgoers, diners, staff, and patrons 18 years and up. And that's through Rose Lock Casting. Let me see if there's another one here, film date. And that one's happening today, so you can't get in that one. You got a couple of them that are actually going on today. We won't be able to get to those. So that's some of the list. Of course, if you go to check out the casting call that Greg prepares for us each and every week, check it out. Just go on to 929thegame.com/local/cast and call, and you'll see a number of opportunities that were there and things behind the camera, things behind the scenes, and things you know, you may be a talent that you do. It could be a makeup artist, could be someone who's a stylist, right on down to somebody who does carpentry or does some different things. There are a lot of different needs for people to do different things when it comes to production.
Sam, you got any of these movies coming out that you're like really dying to go see? Anything recently?
I'm curious about this Twisters, which starts this weekend.
Yeah.
So I think I may go check that out.
What I'm trying to figure out with that one is how are they making it a sequel? Like what?
Well, you got to update the equipment, I'm sure. I'm sure they don't have that thing with the little balls popping out of it like they had it. Well, they could, but I'm sure they got something better than that.
Yeah, with Glenn Powell being a part of that one. I'm very curious as to, like, that felt like at the time a very one-off type of movie. Yeah. So I'm very curious to see, as it was 96, I believe, is when that one came out.
That long.
Yeah. Because what I was looking it up from earlier was, you know, they had the Twisters. It wasn't a ride. I started thinking about it. It was a, like, you at Universal, you would go into this like theater seating and you had a whole experience play out in front of you. And it was a 4D thing. So you got to feel the wind and rain blow on you. And they had a cow that like swept in that made it look like the cow was going to hit the, you know, you out in the audience.
Wow.
They would go back, but they have now replaced that with the Jimmy Fallon experience with the Tonight Show.
So it doesn't have the cow flying.
No, I don't think. Yeah, I don't think Jimmy has a cow flying on his show. But yeah, I think it's cool. I'm very iffy on like remakes or this isn't a remake. This is a sequel. But going like a long distance from one movie to the next. But what I think is cool about this one. This is bringing in a completely different generation because, you know, I mean, 96, like that would have been for me would have been, you know, a movie that I might have seen as a kid that now, I mean, there is generations who probably have no idea that Twisters is the sequel to Twister, you know, that this is a follow-up kind of a thing.
The thing that makes it timely for me is this spring, what did we see? We saw days where there were multiple tornadoes in certain parts of the country. So to me, the timing of this one, considering what the actual, you know, actual weather and actual recent history that we've seen, I think that drives some people in to check it out.
And this is, I was looking, this is the time for sequels in theaters right now, as you've got Twisters coming out, Deadpool and Wolverine, Despicable Me 4. Is coming out.
Four?
Inside Out 2 is out in theaters. A Quiet Place Day 1, follow-up.
What is that telling us?
You know, I honestly think it's Hollywood seems to see that...
That people will come out and give it a shot, it a try?
Yeah, that like, hey, this first one or the first three worked, and so we'll run it back. Because I think the opposite of this is that some new things that they've tried, some one-offs, some more of the independent kind of scene, that they've seen those movies not do particularly well, even though I think they, you know, there's been some really interesting ones to hit theaters, but just people aren't going to the theaters like that. And so I guess they think they can get more, you know, bang for their buck. Running it back with some different sequels.
It was something that's tried before. I mean, you know, I was wondering if they were feeling like, okay, we're going to do a new spin on this, or they run out of ideas.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, like, I've heard that argument a lot. Now, I started my journey at Georgia State in film and television because I thought I wanted to be a movie director.
You still don't want to?
Absolutely not. I did lend my voice to I'm in a movie that was at the Tribeca Film Festival.
Really?
Color Book. So there was a movie that was made this past year, Color Book. It's about a father who has a special needs son, and he loses his wife, and about how he goes through his journey in Atlanta. With, you know, that this new experience. And a buddy of mine is an editor on the film Color Book that went to Tribeca back in June, I believe it was. But he hit me up before, right before the movie was set to complete, and was like, hey, I've got some play-by-play that we can't get licensed. And he was like, can you recreate it? Like, absolutely. So I got to recreate some calls from, I believe it was Chip Carey, as he was calling the Braves back in the day.
And
it all got put together, and so that'll be a really interesting one. I don't know what theaters it'll hit here in Atlanta. Is it, you know, it's an independent film,
right?
But a really interesting story that was very moving once it was explained kind of what it was all about. And a really cool thing just for me to get to be a part of, quite honestly.
Yeah, amazing. You gonna do more of that?
Hey, look, if the phone rings, I'm going to take those calls every single time.
Don't blame you.
Yeah, because, you know, it's one of those, I don't know that I have many skills, but talking, certainly one of them. So any opportunity that I can for, especially like play-by-plays, you know, I did a little bit of that in my Georgia State days. It's like, yeah, I'll do that stuff any and every time it's presented to me.
Caleb Johnson, ladies and gentlemen, he's here. And, you know, I'm going to be your representative. I'm going to get you a lot of work.
hey, there we go. Bad. Line it up, Sam.
Absolutely. But that's another talent that people look for. Voice work, obviously, is another way in to the business of the productions that are going on in and around the area. So check out the casting call, as Greg will be updating it for us on 9290game.com. Go there and look out casting call. Headed for the 9 o'clock hour, our final hour. My goodness, we have so much to cover on this Saturday morning. You stay with us. Jason Longshore is on the way, getting us set for Atlanta United taking on Columbus Crew this evening at the Benz. That's coming up here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw sitting in. And around with Caleb Johnson sitting in for Greg Clarkson on this Saturday morning. Glad you're with us. And usually we get to this part, we usually do a casting call. And then this Greg usually does, and I can't do it as well as he does it. But, you know,
I was about to say, Sam, I feel like I didn't do my job. Like, I didn't bring any new jobs to the casting call to give the folks. As I'm filling in for Greg this morning. I'm supposed to, like, come with some jobs available is, what was it? Stranger Things was one of the
Stranger Things.
Recent ones that folks had an opportunity to go get some get some work being in a an extra and that sort of thing. I was trying to remember the last role that I did, because when I was in college, I was very much looking out for these casting calls.
Okay,
to go, you know, get a chance to be in something. But also, you know, when you're in college, it's a little $50 here, a little $100 here, that sort of thing really helps you stretch your finances.
Okay.
When they're low. And so there was a Melissa McCarthy movie that filmed at Georgia State Stadium.
Okay.
When I was in school, I believe that was like 2016, 2017. And what I remember is going out there. It was decent. I think it was like $75 for the day, being in a scene where they were supposed to be at a baseball game. And so we're all like vendors and that sort of thing. And so I had a whole outfit that they had put me in for that. I kept it's supposed to be a Seattle Mariners game, and I kept the Mariners credential.
Really?
Cause I was like, I just want something to have from this. And I remember the cameras, and Melissa McCarthy comes right by, and so I'm. It was a spy movie that ended up going like straight to HBO Max. And I remember when the movie came out that I was like, "Well, that camera went right by me, so I know I'm in it." And I looked, and I kid you not, Sam, they cut the scene right, like it had to have been a frame
that happened
right before I got on screen.
That happened to you too. That happened to me a long time ago. I was in one And I'm watching it. And I said, this is my scene coming up. And nope.
Yeah. So I've had that happen. And then a friend of mine, Rashad, was in an episode of Atlanta, you know, the Donald Glover show.
Right.
But it was the back of his head. Like you, so you saw the back of him. And what I remember is him being so excited because he screenshot it and he put it in our group chat and was like, look, I'm in an episode of Atlanta. And it was like, the back of your head. Yeah. No, good stuff.
Well, folks, hey, you get excited about it because the opportunity is here. The opportunities are all around us, the film industry. And, of course, you know, they had a time when things were on lockdown. Is gradually making its way back. You mentioned Stranger Things, and that's tailor-made. I'm looking at the casting call here. They do have some dates coming up for the official filming dates are coming up July 22nd through August 2nd. So that's going on. The roles they're looking for are military types. That's ages 18 to 60s. They're looking for men for that show. Let me see what they got. We still got some for P-Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Noel, you want to go with that one? Nope. They're looking for someone to be in that one. The shoot is on July 29th.
So they're looking for a black male chef, someone who is 18 years or older. They must have cooking experience.
Okay.
Must be able to cook a Rolex.
Huh?
An omelet rolled into a chapati.
What?
I have never heard of that, but I am definitely going to Google that now because I don't know how to cook a Rolex, but I want to know.
Yeah,
I want
really?
To learn.
You have to learn.
Because I've never even heard of that before, but that sounds really cool.
Me either. The multiple roles. GRITS, Grits, that's Destination Casting. They're looking for people, well, they're filming now through July 26th. We'll watch for that one. They're looking for churchgoers, diners, staff, and patrons 18 years and up. And that's through Rose Lot Casting. Let me see if there's another one here, film date. And that one's happening today, so you can't get in that one. You got a couple of them that are actually going on today. We won't be able to get to those. So that's some of the list. Of course, if you go to check out the casting call that Greg prepares for us each and every week. Check it out. Just go on to 929thegame.com/local/casting call, and you'll see a number of opportunities that were there and things behind the camera, things behind the scenes, and things you know, you may be a talent that you do. It could be a makeup artist, could be someone who's a stylist, right on down to somebody who does carpentry or does some different things. There are a lot of different needs for people to do different things when it comes to production.
Sam, you got any of these movies coming out that you're like really dying to go see? Anything recently?
I'm curious about this Twisters, which starts this weekend.
Yeah.
So I think I may go check that out.
I what I'm trying to figure out with that one is how are they making it a sequel? Like what?
Well, you got to update the equipment, I'm sure. I'm sure they don't have that thing with the little balls popping out of it like they had it. Well, they could, but I'm sure they got something better than that.
Yeah, with Glenn Powell being a part of that one. I'm very curious as to, like, that felt like at the time a very one-off type of movie.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious to see as it was 96, I believe, is when that one came out.
That long.
Yeah. Because
yeah.
What I was looking it up from earlier was, you know, they had the Twisters. It wasn't a ride. I started thinking about it. It was a, like, you at Universal, you would go into this, like, theater seating, and you had a whole experience play out in front of you. And it was a 4D thing. So you got to feel the wind and rain blow on you. And they had a cow that like swept in that made it look like the cow was going to hit the, you know, you out in the audience.
Wow.
They would go back. But they have now replaced that with the Jimmy Fallon experience with the Tonight Show.
So it doesn't have the cow flying.
No, I don't think Jimmy has a cow flying on his show. But yeah, I think it's cool. I'm very iffy on like remakes or this isn't a remake. This is a sequel. But going like a long distance from one movie to the next. But what I think is cool about this one is this is bringing in a completely different generation. Because, you know, I mean, 96, like that would have been for me would have been, you know, a movie that I might have seen as a kid. That now, I mean, there is generations who probably have no idea that Twisters is the sequel to Twister. You know, that this is a follow-up kind of a thing.
The thing that makes it timely for me is this spring, what did we see? We saw days where there were multiple tornadoes in certain parts of the country. So to me, the timing of this one, considering what the actual, you know, actual weather and actual recent history that we've seen, yeah, I think that drives some people in to check it out.
And this is, I was looking, this is the time for sequels in theaters right now, as you've got Twisters coming out, Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yep.
Despicable Me 4 is coming out.
4?
Inside Out 2 is out in theaters. A Quiet Place Day 1, follow-up.
What is that telling us?
You know, I honestly think it's Hollywood seems to see that
that people will come out and give it a shot, it a try.
That like, hey, this first one or the first three worked, and so we'll run it back. Because I think the opposite of this is that some new things that they've tried, some one-offs, some more of the independent kind of scene, that they've seen those movies not do particularly well, even though I think they, you know, there's been some really interesting ones to hit theaters, but just people aren't going to the theaters like that. And so I guess they think they can get more, you know, bang for their buck running it back with some different sequels.
It was something that's tried before. I mean, you know, I was wondering if they were feeling like, okay, we want to do a new spin on this, or they run out of ideas.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, like, I've heard that argument a lot. Now, I started my journey at Georgia State in film and television because I thought I wanted to be a movie director.
You still don't want to?
Absolutely not. I did lend my voice to I'm in a movie that was at the I'm trying to remember the Tribeca Film Festival.
Really?
Yeah, Color Book. So there was a movie that was made this past year, Color Book. It's about a father who has a special needs son, and he loses his wife, and about how he goes through his journey in Atlanta, with, you know, that this new experience. And a buddy of mine is an editor on the film Color Book that went to Tribeca back in June, I believe it was. But he hit me up right before the movie was set to complete, and was like, "Hey, I've got some play-by-play that we can't get licensed." And he was like, "Can you recreate it?" Like, absolutely. So I got to recreate some calls from, I believe it was Chip Carey, as he was calling the Braves back in the day.
Okay.
It all got put together. And so that'll be a really interesting one. I don't know what theaters it'll hit here in Atlanta. Is it, you know, it's an independent film.
Right.
But a really interesting story that was very moving once it was explained kind of what it was all about. And a really cool thing just for me to get to be a part of, quite honestly.
Yeah. Amazing. You going to do more of that?
Hey, look, if the phone rings, I'm going to take those calls every single time.
Don't blame you.
Yeah, because, you know, it's one of those, I don't know that I have many skills, but talking, certainly one of them.
Yep.
So any opportunity that I can for, especially like play-by-plays, you know, I did a little bit of that in my Georgia State days. It's like, yeah, I'll do that stuff any and every time it's presented to me.
Caleb Johnson, ladies and gentlemen, he's here. And, you know, I'm going to be your representative. I'm going to get you a lot of work.
hey, there we go. Bad. Line it up, Sam.
Absolutely. But that's another talent that people look for. Voice work, obviously, is another way in to the business of the productions that are going on in and around the area. So check out the casting call, as Greg will be updating it for us on 9290game.com. Go there and look out casting call. Headed for the 9 o'clock hour, our final hour. My goodness, we have so much to cover on this Saturday morning. You stay with us. Jason Longshore is on the way, getting a set for Atlanta United, taking on Columbus Crew this evening at the Benz. That's coming up here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.